1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Hope you guys had a great long weekend. Of course, yesterday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We'll talk a little bit about that. And this to-do over Representative John Lewis, Congressman from Georgia, and what has been going on between him and Donald Trump. I think the media has made a great deal about this over the weekend, when it really wasn't a whole lot. We'll find out what John Lewis did to start this whole thing, because there are a lot of people that are boycotting the inauguration. And we're hearing more and more Democrat senators and congressmen boycotting the inauguration coming up. So, all right, well, good. Good for you. I'm glad to hear it. Glad to hear you're boycotting the inauguration. But you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen on the 20th at noon? Donald Trump is going to be the president of the United States. It doesn't matter if you're behind is there or not. It don't matter, Representative John Lewis. And it doesn't matter what you did in the 60s. Okay? Yes, you were a great civil rights leader. Absolutely. You marched across the Pettus Bridge in Alabama. I know, yes, you were, but that does not make you immune to criticism. It does not. What you were then and what you are now are two completely different things. Understand that. This is one of the things that we've seen the Democrats do. If you remember Kazan, the guy that the Gold Star family during the Democrat convention, and they brought this guy out whose son was killed in Iraq, and an American war veteran and a hero. They brought this guy out and his wife, who just kind of stood there, you know, sheepishly. And they brought him out to criticize Donald Trump. So when Donald Trump strikes back, see, they want to put people up in the Democrat Party. They want to put people up that you think are above criticism. Well, let's get this person to criticize Donald Trump, because then if Donald Trump comes back and attacks this person, then we'll say that Donald Trump is a really mean guy. We'll do that. We'll brand Donald Trump as a really mean guy. So they did that. This is out of the playbook here. It's completely out of the Democrat playbook. So they said that, you know, he's a big meanie. He spoke out against the Gold Star family. Did not. He just defended himself against them. And now the same thing has happened with Representative John Lewis. So we'll talk more about this morning, because this is fascinating. And John Lewis said, well, this is the first time I've ever skipped an inauguration. No, it's not, sir. If you can't remember... If your memory is that bad, Representative John Lewis, maybe we ought to look at whether or not you can you're fit to serve. How about that? If you can't remember the last time you sat out an inauguration. All right, we got that coming up for you this morning. Having birthdays today, Maxim Chmerskalovsky from Dancing with the Stars is 37 years old today. Dwayne Wade, 35. Freddie Rodriguez is 42 years old today. Kid Rock is 46 years old today. Jim Carrey is 55. Michelle Obama, yes, the First Lady of the United States, who is going to leave the White House kicking and screaming, I do believe. They're going to have to drag her out of the White House. They really are. Coming up on Friday, she is 53 years old today. Steve Harvey is 60 years old today. Oh, and by the way, Steve Harvey successfully transitioned to being non-black past week, because he sat down with Donald Trump and said he would meet with him anytime. And all of a sudden, people were like, look at Steve Harvey, look at Steve Harvey. Oh, and by the way, I saw Steve Harvey Bacon at Harris Teeter yesterday. I didn't even know he did that. Steve Earle, 62 years old today. He was a great, great talent. If it weren't for black tar heroin, he would have really been something. And Steve Earle just completely having a fought his whole life against addiction. Maury Povich, 78 years old today. James Earl Jones, is 86 years old today. He is a stutterer. I don't know if you guys know that, but he is a stutterer, much like myself, who overcame it. So, Betty White, 95 years old today. Take that, 2016. Muhammad Ali would have been 75 years old today. Let's see. Andy Kaufman was born on this day in 1949. Sherry Lewis. Remember Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop? Yeah, she was born on this day in 1933. Eartha Kitt was born on this day in 1927. Al Capone was born in 1899. And Benjamin Franklin was born on this day in 1706. We've got 3 days left of Hope and Change. The Year of the Rooster will be here in 11 days. 16 days until Groundhog Day. Super Bowl 51 will be here in 19 days and 54 days until daylight savings time. It was on this day, 1871, Andrew Halliday received a patent for the cable car system. 3 years later, the invention changed the face of San Francisco and also brought about Rice-A-Roni. I'm not sure how those were related, but apparently that's what happened. It was on this day in 1893. Let's see what happened down here. In Hawaii, looks like sugar planters in Hawaii forced Hawaiian Queen Lukulalani to abdicate her throne. I can't pronounce it either. 1971, the Baltimore Colts beat the Dallas Cowboys 16-13 in Super Bowl V. What a game where Green Bay beat Dallas this weekend. Well, that's a heartbreaker. 1975, Beretta premiered on ABC. It was on this day in 1986. President Reagan had three small polyps removed from his colon. That was the butt of a lot of jokes. Uh-huh. It was on this day in, that's what happened on this day in history. Not a whole lot more there. All right, it's almost 19 minutes. Past 6 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
It's Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show. Call Charlie right now at 843-556-1250.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
24 minutes past 6 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Coming up this morning, Maxine Waters is saying that Donald Trump is not a legitimate president, and she is already calling for his impeachment. The guy isn't even in office yet. Now, remember, you can be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, and that's pretty much it. That's why you get impeached. Ask Bill Clinton. So, Maxine Waters is calling for a man who is not even the president of the United States to be impeached. But you won't believe the reason she gives for this. And you're going to see this thing for the next 4 years at least. Donald Trump ought to be impeached, yada, yada, yada. We're going to have so many impeachment hearings that it's not even going to be funny. What a complete waste of taxpayer dollars. So we'll have that for you. I'm going to play this clip for you coming up in just a few minutes. And you're not going to believe this woman. I mean, you could just look at her face and go, that is a bitter, bitter woman. Also, Oprah Winfrey is still poor. And I'll tell you why coming up right around the corner. It's 25 minutes past 6 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
I agree with you 100%.
On 1250 WTMA. Catch up on past editions of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James. Find Charlie's podcast under the On Demand tab at WTMA.com.
18 minutes until 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. And we've got 2 days. Who'd have thunk it? 2 days, 17 hours, 17 minutes, and 40 seconds until Obama leaves office and they drag Michelle Obama kicking and screaming from her wardrobe in the White House. No, she can't give it up. So apparently they're going down to Palm Springs. So they're going to Palm Springs Now, when they leave office, this was kind of interesting because, you know, little things you don't think about. They're going to get on a helicopter there at the White House, and they're going to be flown to Andrews Air Force Base. Then they are going to get on an airplane and fly down to Palm Springs. Now, when Obama gets on the helicopter, it will not be Marine One. You understand that? It will not be Marine One because he will not be the president of the United States. When Obama gets on the airplane, which is the same plane that he's been flying on for the past 8 years, that plane will no longer be Air Force One. Do you understand that? Because it is only designated Air Force One when the president of the United States is on board. President could be, if Donald Trump were to fly on his private plane, that plane would then be designated Air Force One. So it just depends on basically who's riding in it, what it's called. I think it's like Special Air Command 29,000, something like that. That'll be the name of the 747 that he boards when he heads down to Palm Springs. But he's going to go down to Palm Springs. He vacations in Martha's Vineyard. He vacations in Hawaii. It's kind of ironic. Don't you think it's, and I'm wondering how the African-American community feels about this, because it seems like none of the places that he visits are really heavily African-American centers, we'll say. He doesn't vacation in Chicago. He doesn't go to Detroit to vacation. It just seems like this guy wants to get as far away from African-Americans as humanly possible. So let's go down to Palm Springs. Let's go down to... let's go to Martha's Vineyard. Let's go to Hawaii. So I just found that interesting this weekend when they were talking about it. Now, Maxine Waters is saying that she wants Donald Trump impeached. Now, Ms. Waters, I hate to break this to you, but Donald Trump is not the president of the United States right now. He will not be that for 2 days, 17 hours, 14 minutes, and 40 seconds as of... Mark. All right. So here's what she said with Chris Matthews. She wants Trump impeached.
With some sort of, as you call it, collusion, then what? Does that make Trump subject to impeachment? What do you mean by not legitimate? Just generally, what you mean by the term.
Well, here's what
I'm... If you find out there was a connection, there was collusion, your term.
Well, here's what I'm trying to get to. If we discover that Donald Trump or his advocates played a role in helping to devise strategy, if they're the ones who came up with crooked Hillary, if they're the ones who came up with she's ill, something's wrong with her energy, and the way that he basically, you know, described her in the campaign, I think that is something that would put the question squarely on the table whether or not he should be impeached.
So you think you can have an impeachable offense before you take office, in other words?
Well, I think that at the point that investigations discover and can confirm and document any of that, that they had a role in helping to strategize, they had a role in attempting to determine the outcome, that in many ways they used the information that they got from the DNC when they hacked into our emails, et cetera. If that was used against Hillary Clinton in some ways, yes, I think that's impeachable.
All right, so here's the hypocrisy of this whole thing. So basically she was saying that Donald Trump using, you know, things like Hillary was ill, and we found out she was. I mean, we all saw her fall out there in Washington, D.C. Remember that? She was standing up there, and they had to drag her into the van, and then all of a sudden, a couple hours later, she walks out fresh as a daisy. Remember that? Oh, it's just nothing. And we found, all right, so would Hillary then be an illegitimate president had she won the election? I know, I got a shiver up and down my spine, too. Had she won the election and Hillary was the president-elect of the United States, would Maxine Waters be talking about her impeachment when it was clear, when it was absolutely clear that the DNC colluded with the media to get her to win the primary against Bernie Sanders. Would that, I mean, that's proven. It's right there, black and white. They colluded with the media to get Hillary Clinton nominated to be the president of the United States. Would then she be illegitimate? Would Maxine Waters be screaming about that? No. Paul's out in Somerville. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Oh, absolutely fantastic. I have a different take on this than most of the good, decent, patriotic Americans in this country.
All right.
I don't want them to stop whining. I don't want them to stop rioting. I don't want them, I mean, you know, I do want them to stop kidnapping and torturing people, because that's just, you know,
right,
way, way over the line here. But here's the thing. Donald Trump is president because he convinced a lot of swing voters in a lot of states the Republicans haven't carried in decades to say, yeah, give me some of that. And every time people like, who is this dingbat we were just listening
Maxine
to?
Maxine Waters.
Oh, God, I thought I recognized the voice.
Yeah.
I didn't catch the whole broadcast. Every time they whine and complain and bang the high chair like a bunch of spoiled brats in month-old diapers, every swing voter in the country can look and conclude which side has the actual grown-ups, that would be us, and which side has spoiled brats, that would be them.
Yeah, exactly.
My prediction, and this is a prediction a friend of mine had, because we've lived long enough to see Reagan get elected.
Right.
My friend called this last election. He called every single state, and he also talked about the razor-thin margin of victories that were going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the next time around, it's going to be a lot like 1984.
So you're saying it's going to be a big, giant landslide.
A blowout, because they keep talking. Okay, here's another, for instance. The only thing so far that they hadn't been saying was, oh, Trump's going to blow up the world. Because
right.
Remember when Reagan was elected? And everyone's walking around, he's going to start a nuclear war. And 8 years later, it still hadn't happened. And not one of those people apologized for being a complete moron.
No, and they won't.
Trump, too. You know, that was the one thing they weren't doing for Trump. And now they're doing that. They have a petition on change.org. Oh, we should take the missiles off of, like, standby notice, because now he's going to be pissed. Yeah, it's like, you know what? Relax there, Chuckles.
Right.
No such thing's going to happen.
Exactly right. Paul, I appreciate you calling in this morning. Well, I tell you what, if there's anybody banging the drums of war, of course it's Lindsey Graham and John McCain. Those two guys who were big, outspoken enemies, we'll say, of Donald Trump, they're the ones that are saying, you know, well, we got to blah, blah, blah with Russia and all of that. So more on this coming up. We'll be right back. It's the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
It's live and local talk with Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show. Connect with Charlie James at 843-556-1250 or email charlie at WTMA.com.
They said this day would never come.
The president welcoming the World Series champion Chicago Cubs to the White House, his last sports champions as president and first World Series title for the Cubs in more than a century.
Police in Turkey say they've captured the gunman who opened fire at the Reina nightclub in Istanbul on New Year's Eve. Back here, the FBI arrested the wife of the Orlando nightclub shooter.
Astronaut Gene Cernan has died. He was the last man on the moon.
Don't ever count yourself out. If I can go to the moon, what can't you do?
Cernan was 82, commander of Apollo 17 in 1972. He logged more than 566 hours in space in all.
In Iraq, security forces are celebrating retaking some key areas of the northern city of Mosul from ISIS.
Despite new measures to try to cool down Canada's housing market, the latest numbers by the Canadian Real Estate Association show most housing prices and sales went up.
All right, those are your headlines in 60 seconds. Coming up, we're going to be talking more about this blow-up with Representative John Lewis from Georgia. And we'll run down exactly how that took place and why John Lewis might have a little bit of what my grandmother used to say about my grandfather, selective memory. Yes, we'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes, because it has really been the talk of the weekend, really been the talk of the weekend. And we'll have that for you in just a few minutes. Also got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about today. A big sale downtown as one of the historic homes from Charleston was sold this weekend for $5.83 million? 5.83 million. That's a pretty hefty little price tag there. But for 8,000 square feet, I think it's a steal. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. It's the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. It's 12 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. We are 17 days into 2017, and we already have a Father of the Year nominee. This is, wow. Tyrone Lamar Randolph, congratulations, Tyrone. You are now officially designated as a nominee for our Father of the Year. We'll be giving this prize away coming up in December. And what nominates Tyrone Lamar Randolph as Father of the Year? Well, he took his daughter to a drug deal and she got shot. Way to go, Tyrone. That's parenting right there. Sled arrested Tyrone. He's an Ellery man, arrested him on Sunday, charged him with unlawful neglect of a child or helpless person after his daughter was shot on Saturday night during a drug deal. Come on, honey, let's go buy some drugs. They say that Tyrone Lamar Randolph was trying to buy some drugs. He exchanged gunfire with his drug dealer. That's weird because that never happens. During the incident, his daughter was sitting in the back seat of a nearby car and was struck by a bullet. Investigators say that she was taken to the Children's Hospital at Palmetto Health up in Richland County in Columbia. And SLED spokesman Tom Berry said he heard Monday afternoon that the child remained in the hospital, but she had been stepped down from intensive care and is recovering. Oh, could you imagine that? I mean, there she is, maybe a teenager or something like that, going, "Hey, Daddy, I'm wondering, how'd I get this scar?" Oh, honey, that's a funny story. Let me tell you about that. So, congratulations, Tyrone. Good job. Paul is west of the Ashley. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
That's James, actually.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Doing good. I just wanted to comment on McCain and Graham,
yeah,
as well as Representative Lewis. I'm not surprised Lindsey Graham's, you know, trying to get us into a war with somebody. That seems to be his M.O.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is because he doesn't have to fight, doesn't have any kids that have to fight, doesn't really have anybody that I know of that would be going off to fight these wars.
Right.
And John McCain, you know, after the horrors that he saw being a POW, you would think the last thing he would want to do would be to send anybody,
you would think,
off to war.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, that's actually my hope with General Mattis as the SECDEF, is that he is a combat vet, has seen the crap, and hopefully that'll you know, help him think long and hard before he supports sending anybody off to
Paul. I mean, this the last people, there are two people, Paul, I appreciate you calling in. There are two people that are the last people we want to go to war with: Russia and China, because these aren't going to be just little small incursions. These aren't going to be little small battles. These are going to be full-out wars, and we need to do everything we can to avoid that, especially toning down the rhetoric that is coming from folks like Lindsey Graham and John McCain. These won't be little, you know, we're going to send 500 troops over somewhere to battle the Russians. These will be major. Now, remember, we haven't had an official war since World War II. And we've only legitimately had five wars, technically, in the history of the United States. So it would be a darn shame if folks, they just need to calm it down. They just absolutely need to calm it down and quit pointing the fingers at the Russians. I mean, my gosh, to say the Russians interfered in our elections. Well, how many elections have we interfered with in this country? I mean, we're not immune to that, certainly. So I think the rhetoric is just a little disingenuous. It's 16 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie's phone line is open now at 843-556-1250. That's 843-556-1250. It's the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
Morning is 21 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. It looks like tomorrow, Governor Nikki Haley is going to be going through her confirmation hearing to become the next United States ambassador to the United Nations. Of course, it's a big deal. I mean, this young lady grew up in Bamberg and became the governor and is now going to be, I mean, at one time she was a potential presidential nominee. In the future, I wouldn't mind seeing that, but her confirmation is going to be tomorrow, and it was expected to be, you know, mere formality, and I still think it is. A lot of people are saying, you know, she might have a tough time because of Tillerson and all of that, but I think really this is going to be pretty much a breeze for her. She will be the next ambassador to the United Nations of the United States of America, and you've already got folks like John McCain, Lindsey Graham saying they want to defund the United Nations. Wouldn't that stink? I mean, here you are, you're Nikki Haley. I mean, she would still be the ambassador, but they want to defund the United Nations. I doubt that'll happen seriously, no matter how much rhetoric is passed around out there. All right, so over the weekend, Representative John Lewis from Georgia said that he was not going to attend the inauguration of Donald J. Trump when he becomes the next president or the fifth president of the United States. That inauguration is going to happen 3 days, 4 hours, 36 minutes, and 20 seconds from now. Yeah, we're counting that down like that. So then Donald Trump said, listen, maybe this guy should be starting, you know, maybe concentrating on his own district instead of speaking out against me. Well, John Lewis said that this would be the first inauguration that he has ever missed. Well, if you watch Trish Reagan on Fox, you know that that's not true, right?
President-elect Trump won the election fair and square. We know that. But the left still will not accept the outcome of the election. Here is the Congressman Lewis, on why he thinks Trump is not a legitimate president. Watch.
I think the Russians participated in helping this man get elected, and they helped destroy the candidacy of Hillary Clinton. I don't plan to attend inauguration. It would be the first one that I miss since I've been in the Congress.
Oh, really? Did you catch that? The Congressman Lewis said this is the first inauguration he is skipping since he has been in Congress. But we did the research, and it turns out this is not the first inauguration Congressman Lewis didn't attend. He also refused to attend George W. Bush's inauguration back in 2001. In fact, an article from the Washington Post dated January 21st, 2001 reads, and I'm sharing this with you, John Lewis, for instance, spent Inauguration Day in his Atlantic district. He thought it would be hypocritical to attend Bush's swearing in because he doesn't believe Bush is the true elected president. Not the true elected president. You see, there's a pattern of behavior. There is a pattern of rhetoric with this gentleman.
Absolutely. Basically, if you're not a Democrat, then you're not a legitimate president. It's 26 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
That's an attention getter.
On 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 7:41, 19 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday morning. Going to be a warm one today. High's going to be getting up somewhere close to 80, right around 77. Tonight's low is going to be 58. And warm weather continues. It's going to be in the 60s in a couple of days from now. Still not quite winter. We got a little ways to go on that yet. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Let's go to the phones right now and talk to Jerome. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Yes, I just got a couple of things I need to get your opinion on.
Okay.
Hey, is Donald Trump going to continue to tell the same lies he tells to get in office when your president finally gets in there?
And what lies are that, Jerome?
They were just talking about all the money they spent on his inauguration. They played the tip of him saying, I don't need anybody's money. Yeah, right. $100 million inauguration plus a bunch of other money. Oh, by the way, have fun going to his hotel. It's only going to cost you $18,000 a night right down the street from the White House.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, did you see this video of these cops in Evanston, Illinois? Wait till you see that one.
We'll take a look at that, Jerome. I appreciate you calling in. And, all right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Let's go to the phones right now and talk with John Cobb. John is the executive director of Elementary Learning Community with the Charleston County School District. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning?
Doing fantastic. Now, you are a Lowcountry native, right?
Yes, I am. I grew up out in the Parker's Ferry, Adams Run area. I went to District 23 schools, Baptist Hill, Schroeder, mm-hmm. back in the day when it was a Schroeder 1 and 2, and attended Minnie Hughes Elementary.
So you went to school here in the Lowcountry. You started working what school did you start working at?
I started working at Springfield Elementary. I did that for a year. Mm-hmm. And then I went to another county and came back and was principal at Drayton Hall for 13 years.
So you left the school level and you went with the district level. What was involved in that decision?
That decision, I was asked to mentor, supervise a few principals, and lo and behold, I didn't know I was supervising all 47 principals at the time.
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise was it, and I'm enjoying every bit of it, though. It's kind of like being one of the principals that have a lot of experience on elementary mm-hmm. level that's still with the district, and, you know, I get to work with the younger principals, so it's definitely a treat for me.
Absolutely. So how many elementary schools do you oversee?
47.
47?
Yes, sir.
And I've said it before with just about everybody we've had on with the Charleston County School District, you've got a busy day.
Yes, I do.
All right. So what are the specific needs or the specific challenges that our kids face in the elementary school system?
You're looking at curriculum is constantly changing, and it's for the kids' sake. You're looking at it this way. Mm-hmm. They are smarter than we were, and that work that they get are more than we got when we were in elementary school. So, you know, they're preparing themselves for jobs that have not been created yet.
Right.
You have to learn to work together, to learn the technology. And it's definitely a lot. So that's some of that challenge when it comes to curriculum. And then the other one is, you know, peers and, you know, dealing with peers and being there. Yes.
So now, even though, you know, Joe Williams with the middle school community, Kim Wilson with the high school community, you guys are all on different levels, but how much do you guys work together to make sure that these kids go from elementary school all the way through high school with the proper education that they need?
Yeah, and see, that's where we are now. We definitely welcoming Mr. Wilson onto the team. Our communication is pretty much vital to the consistency at the grade level. We work together in the beginning stages of making sure that whatever we communicate is consistent through the grade, throughout the different level, middle school, high, mm-hmm. elementary, and also that the high school teachers, we want to get to the point where high school teachers are meeting with middle school teachers in that feeding pattern to say, these are the skills that we want the kids to know when they get to high school, and middle school meet with the fifth grade teachers and say, these are the skills we want the kids to know when they get to middle school, because the ultimate goal is preparing our students for college and career readiness.
Now, you mentioned a term that a lot of people might not be familiar with, feeder pattern system. What is that?
Feeder pattern is You look at their group of two or three elementary schools. Sometimes they may even be more, depending on where you live. Those elementary schools go specifically to a zoned middle school, and from middle school they go specifically to a high school. So it's from the succession from one level to the other.
All right. So as a position in a position where you actually oversee principals, what in your mind are the difficulties or the requirements of a good principal for an elementary school?
One, being able to work with your staff. Next one, being able to work with the community and your parents. Parents are very important to a building. If you're going to have a successful school, having your parents on board, it's key. And next thing is dealing with curriculum. You can be strong in curriculum, that's a plus. If not, you got to hire somebody who is strong in curriculum to keep your program moving. And be willing to listen as well as, you know, sometimes you have to stand up on the top of the hill and preach for what's right. So being brave when it's time to be brave, and, you know, being a follower when it's time to follow.
Now, we all know, you know, the challenges that the kids in high schools have. Middle school, they're in that very impressionable time. What are the challenges that you see in the elementary school level? I mean, this is really where your good, and I'll say good learning habits are formed, right?
Yes, definitely. And when you look at elementary school in the primary years, you're talking first grade, second grade, that's when, you know, they are learning to read. When they're learning all the skills and they're learning all these habits. So that's why I say parents are important, and school is important when they create these habits when they're in elementary school, and then it transfers on to middle school.
Right, and then really on to the rest of your life. So how important is, and we've asked everybody this again, but how important is it that parents be more involved in their schools, in their kids' schooling?
Very, very important. I remember going through a program called Participating Parents for Progress. And one of the things that stands out for me in that program and going through that training is that for parents to have what they call a dream visit for their child. Mm-hmm. Every parent has a dream for their child. Let's go in at the beginning of the year, or rather, you know, it's the mid-year. Go in and speak with their teacher and tell them about the dream that they have for their child. And let that teacher help them achieve that dream.
So they basically are able to go in with the teacher and work out some sort of a roadmap, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you very much. John Cobb, Executive Director of the Elementary Community, Learning Community, here with the Charleston County School District. Mr. Cobb, I appreciate you being on the program this morning. Hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we hope to see those who are invited to our community symposium on January 28th be able to make it there. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Thank you. John Cobb with the Charleston County School District. It's 11 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
It's the great American pastime. Complaining. And where would talk radio be without it? Get it off your chest by calling Charlie James now. 843-556-1250. This is the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. And kind of in the middle of flu season here. Although we haven't had the huge giant outbreak that we often hear about this time of year, a lot of people are asking, well, how sick does my kid have to be to stay home from school? They had a new survey out that asked 1,400 parents if they'd still send their kids to school with these five symptoms. And this is why, you know, we all get sick every year, because people, they come into work in the school and they're contagious and they spread it around. 5%, 20% of people. 20% of people would send their children to school if they had diarrhea. Let the school deal with it. Let the school deal with it. No, 42% say they still send their kids to school if they were throwing up but didn't have any other symptoms. 51% said they would send them to school if they had a slight fever. As long as they were acting normal, that's fine. Kids acting normal, no problem. 84% would send them to school with red, watery eyes, but no fever. And 88% of parents say they'd still send their kid to school with a runny nose and a dry cough as long as they didn't have a fever. Maybe that one's okay. But still, runny nose, dry cough, that's going to spread it around. That's why we have all of these, you know, we get all these, everybody getting sick all the time because people always want to, no, I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to do it. The best thing you can do if you're sick, if you have the flu, is stay your behind home. Don't be infecting the entire office or the entire class because that's how these epidemics get started. Just stay home. You'll be all right. The world will keep turning. Your company will keep running. Everything is going to be fine. It's 7:59 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. I wonder if Joe Riley is going to start requiring everyone to call him sir. Sir Joe Riley. I think it's good. Well, apparently, Pope Francis, the Pope, the big guy, the numero uno, the head honcho of the Catholic Church, has designated 8 people who are associated with the Catholic Diocese of Charleston. They're going to be getting special honors coming up Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist there at 120 Broad Street. Joe Riley and retired South Carolina Chief Justice Gene Toll are going to get the honor of the Order of St. Gregory the Great. Now, this is one of 5 papal orders of knighthood. How about that? He's going to be a papal knight. How about that? That's pretty cool. I would ask for people to call me sir. Yeah. Sir.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sir Charlie James. Yes, of course. Altar of the Papal Knight.
So, that'd be pretty cool. That's a pretty big deal, I would imagine, for the Pope to be honoring 5 people here in Charleston with that honor. So, that's pretty doggone cool. I like that. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. As this whole thing with Representative John Lewis, I was reading, did a little checking up on John Lewis. His net worth. His net worth. Are you ready for this? How much do you think he's worth? G-Man, just give me a round ballpark figure. John Lewis, Democrat, congressman from Georgia. Net worth, what do you think?
$500,000.
$10,067. $10,067. So I don't know if that's good or bad. I really don't. It's shocking to me that this man has been in Congress as long as he has, only amassed a fortune of $10,076. Of course, he gets, you know, he's going to get retirement and all that, and his health care is paid for because they don't have to do Obamacare, you silly peasants. They don't have to do that. Not like you normal folks. On. So there you go. Anyway, he said that he's going to not go to the inauguration of Donald Trump. And so far, there's been about 33 Democrats saying they're not going to be there. And a lot of quote unquote celebrities aren't going to be performing and yada, yada, yada. However, with all of that, the inauguration is still going to go on. Still going to go on. In fact, we've got 3 days, 3 hours, 45 minutes exactly until Donald Trump is sworn in as the 45th president of the United States. So John Lewis, granted, there are some things you cannot take away from John Lewis. He was an icon for the civil rights movement back in the 60s. That you can't take that away. That happened. All right. However, I think maybe we're seeing a different man than we are now. Now, this was a guy, John Lewis, that was arm in arm with the Republican Party because they were the ones, well, the Republican Party who was fighting for civil rights in this country. And the Democrats were the ones that were against it. So John Lewis, arm in arm with the Republicans back in the 60s. And of course, something happened. I guess he got a better deal from the Democrats, switched over there, and has become basically a shill for the Democrat Party. So he says he's not going to show up to the inauguration. And Donald Trump said, listen, what you really need to be doing is concentrating on your district, which is, I think it's the 17th over in Georgia, which is Atlanta and just west of Atlanta. It's like Atlanta, Atlanta West. And some of those areas in Atlanta are very impoverished. Some of those areas in Atlanta, I mean, they're having a tremendous problem with some of, with a lot of corruption in their school system. Of course, their mayor is not the, you know, the brightest bulb on the tree. So there's some issues in his district. Well, people just lost their minds over it. Absolutely lost their minds over what Donald Trump said about John Lewis. In fact, one of the people that came to Donald Trump's defense was Rob Schneider. Now, we all know him from Saturday Night Live and several other movies, and he spoke out in basically supporting Donald Trump during this. And of course, he took a lot of flack on it. Let me see if I can, but where is this, trying to find this clip I got here from Rob Schneider. Maybe I don't have it just yet. But anyway, I'll play that for you coming up in just a second. So, taking a lot of grief on this. And he, let's say, but here's what they're doing. They're now comparing Rob Schneider and some of the roles that he played. Here we go.
My friends, let us not forget that we are involved in a serious social revolution. We do not want our freedom gradually, but we want to be free now.
It's me, Jessica. I'm in here. I don't know what happened. I woke up this morning like this. Nah.
So he played an African-American girl. All right, let's go to Malcolm. Malcolm says he's got the whole story. Let's hear it, Malcolm. What's the whole story?
Well, the whole story is that John Lewis's district is composed of a lot of rich white folks.
Yeah, when you're talking about suburban, when you're I'm agreeing with you here, Malcolm. Uh-huh. You're exactly right.
And they put in their paper that Donald Trump is wrong.
Who did? Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Have you? Now, when's the last time, Malcolm? Let me ask. When's the last time you went to Atlanta?
I look at the news.
Okay, no, I'm asking you personally. No. I'm asking you personally. When was the last time you went to Atlanta?
Oh, about 5 years ago.
About 5 years ago. And did you see some of the conditions of some of the neighborhoods in...
No, I wasn't there to look for that.
Oh, okay.
I was there on a personal mission. I mm-hmm. had lost a relative.
Okay, sorry to hear that.
And we left.
Okay.
But the paper says that Donald Trump is wrong.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a historically liberal biased newspaper up in Atlanta.
Please, Mr. James, everything that you don't like, you come up with, it's liberal.
Oh, well, it's kind of, well, that makes us birds of a feather then, Malcolm, because everything you don't like, you label as racist.
Well, there it is, but tell the whole story, though. Don't just leave with the impression that he got a rundown district and Donald Trump told him to take care of the district. That's not true.
Have you been to Atlanta?
That has nothing to do with telling the whole story.
No, of course. Of course, actually seeing it for yourself has nothing to do with it, Malcolm.
It's a very distinguished district with a lot of rich white folks in it, and you don't want to admit that.
Okay. All right. I think I just did admit. They do. Atlanta does have a great deal of rich white people. You're exactly right. Not all of them live in that district.
The district that John Lewis is over, and they said that Donald Trump is wrong. But he's a lie anyway. So
What else has he lied about, Malcolm? Okay, you have a good day, too. So you don't have to back up any of your claims there. All right, 556-1250 is the number. Let's go to the phones now and talk with the chairman of the Charleston County Republican Party, Larry Kabrowski. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. And I want to invite people. We're having an inauguration watch party and celebration on Friday at Parsons Jack Cafe. And that's at 3417 Shelby Ray Court.
Yeah.
And we'd be honored for people who want to come celebrate the new president to share that with us.
All right. Sounds good. What time is it going to start?
Well, the inauguration's at 12.
Right.
And I, you know, we're open about 11 and then the parade right afterwards.
All right. And do you need a ticket, need to make reservations or anything, or just show up and have a good time?
Show up and have a good time. This is to celebrate the Trump being president and the Republican Congress at the same time. So we hope for great things. And every day I watch the hysteria on the other side and I say, thank God that they're not in power.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? I think they're showing their real colors right now. All right, Larry, that is Inauguration Day, Parson Jack's Cafe. You can head over there and enjoy like-minded individuals as they celebrate the 45th president of the United States. Larry, I appreciate you calling in, buddy.
Thank you, and have a good day. I hope to see you there.
You too, buddy. Thank you. Brian is out on James Island. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Morning.
Yes, sir.
I was just driving, and I listen to you every morning, and normally too busy to call, but I just couldn't wait. I thought of the best thing about Malcolm and the liberals. How can you explain what they're doing? And I said, this is probably a good analogy.
Yeah.
You ever have the old football game that had a vibrator on it? You put little men with plastic feet and then you put it on.
Yeah.
Scattering in all different directions. That's what, when Trump was elected, someone turned on the board and the liberals had just gone nuts.
they were always that one guy that just kept going around in circles, you know? And never really getting anywhere. Brian, that's a great analogy. I appreciate you calling in. You're exactly right. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Calling in, we've got Cliff on hold. Good morning, Cliff. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. What's up, buddy?
Well, I lived in Charleston most of my life, but I lived in Atlanta when Lewis was elected in 1986,
mm-hmm.
5th District. And a couple of things Malcolm was talking about. First of all, his territory, the 5th District, does include some of the most affluent sections of Atlanta. It's Buckhead, but it also includes some of the inner parts of Fulton County.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of it. An interesting fact, when he was first elected, he was close to illiterate. He has since, you know, improved his knowledge and his abilities to learn substantially, I'm sure. But in 86, he could not string together a sentence. He made Malcolm sound like an Oxford scholar.
Mm-hmm.
He's done well, yes. He's done the history of the march.
Oops, sorry about that, Cliff. You dropped off there. So coming up, we're going to take a quick break here. Come back. I will tell you about the 5th Congressional District of Georgia and how well they're doing. It's 24 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. It's the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. 843-556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Bill is in Mount Pleasant. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing, Charlie?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I was just listening to the news, and they were talking about how there is a snafu with Price because he did a little stock purchase in a medical device company and then profited from it when he introduced some legislation on it.
Right.
That's called insider trading. Do you realize that they stripped that out of an ethics bill that Senate passed a number of years ago?
Right.
They're allowed to do that. Nancy Pelosi would be flat broke had she not been able to do that.
You're exactly right. What about Hillary Clinton when she, oversaw the selling of our uranium to Russia, and then they turned around and they make several million dollars in contributions to the Clinton Foundation?
Exactly. It's not right in any scenario.
Right.
If you and I did it, it would be a felony and we would be on our keister.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's the way that these people, they go into office, they're flat broke when they go into office, and they come out multimillionaires.
Exactly. They use information they obtained in special committees, and then they trade on that.
Right. Yeah, it's not right. And you're right about that. I mean, we even see that happening here in South Carolina. That's something that they really need to address because, again, if we can't do it, they shouldn't be able to do it.
Exactly. They should follow by the same set of rules we do.
Yeah, but when is that going
to
happen?
To bring it up as a sticking point for his nomination process,
mm-hmm.
is hypocritical.
Oh, I agree. So if that's the case, then let's go back and look at all the financial dealings of every member of the House and Senate.
Exactly. If you're going to hold a standard, hold it for everybody. Just don't put it in front of somebody who may become a public figure.
Right. Right. I agree with you, Bill. Thank you very much for your call. And he's right. I mean, some of these things that the Congress, House and Senate are able to do is, and the things that you and I aren't able to do, that's just wrong. We have to have the Affordable Care Act in our lives. That's the world that we live in. However, Congress doesn't have to abide by those rules. So it's completely different for them than it is for us. I think we ought to make it a law that they're not exempt from all of this stuff. They don't have to be in the Social Security program. We do. They don't. They've got their own deal going. So I think it's just absolutely wrong on all levels that, and you know, we saw it here. We've seen it here in South Carolina. It happens. Oh, well, I will, you know, I'm working for the House. Why don't you hire my consulting firm to handle your, no. Jeff's in on, dog. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you, Charlie?
Fantastic. What's on your mind on this Tuesday?
The big deal they're making about Al Sharpton and his comments and on MSNBC. I was just wondering how they didn't arrest him on the set when he owes almost $4 million in back taxes. If you or I owe $200, they send us a letter in the mail.
Yeah, I wonder how many letters they send to Al Sharpton. Now, he's paid some of that back because it was up to like $16 million.
Yeah.
And that's plenty of money.
Right.
So, but you can't throw Al Sharpton in jail. He's above that. He's
right.
above that.
And he, right, but he can question Donald Trump's tax return not showing it.
And that's the thing. How brazen is that for somebody to be so in debt to the American people to actually stand up and say, "Hey, what about this guy?"
Yeah, so that's the hypocrisy. That's the whole hypocrisy of the left on this whole plot that they're doing against Trump.
You're exactly right. Jeff, I appreciate you calling in. Let's talk about hypocrisy of the left. Remember body cameras? Remember when everybody said, "Oh, well, we got to get our police to have body cameras. Our police got to start walking around with body cameras." And I told you when they, you know, Marlon Kimson was coming out, he wanted everybody, all the police officers in the state to have body cameras. They got body camera this, body camera that, body camera this. So, and I told you that this is going to be great up until it's not. Up until it doesn't serve the purpose. Up until it doesn't show that police are, in most cases, acting within their rights and within their training in the execution of their duties. Now the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, is calling for police cameras, body cams, to be turned off during the inauguration. That's right. They are concerned that the police will, quote unquote, violate their rights during the inauguration protests. So they want to, what they're asking for people that go to the protest to do is record. Get on there and record. Record everything. Record. Have your cameras out. Have you live stream this thing. Meanwhile, the ACLU is demanding the police turn off their body cameras during the events. Now, the D.C. police say their policy is only to record when there is police activity, and they don't consider monitoring protest and activity. So when do you turn it on? When a riot breaks out, when somebody throws a bottle, when somebody pepper sprays, when something else happens. Oh, you saw it at the Martin Luther King parade down in Miami. 3 people were killed during that. Several others were injured. So, if again, hypocrisy. If you're going to have the body cameras, let's have them on all the time. That's what you wanted. Now you got it. 13 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. It's the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com on your Tuesday morning, the 17th day of January. By the way, it's only 30 days until my birthday. I'm just saying, if you want to start saving. That's all I'm saying. And don't you find it ironic in February? And I think this is a conspiracy. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, but I think this is a conspiracy. Valentine's Day falls on the 14th of February. Am I right about that? Right about that. Payday is the 15th. See? Oh, don't think this is by accident. Don't think this is by accident. This is so that you will have to plan ahead, you see. Not only are you going to have to start planning on buying something for her on the 1st or the 30th when you get your paycheck, because you can't wait until the 15th, you see. You get paid on the 15th, Valentine's on the 14th. You got to plan ahead, you see. That's a conspiracy theory that I want looked into. Absolutely. All right, we got about 6 minutes until 9 o'clock. Leaders at a California church have come to a decision, and they have decided to stop praying for the president of the United States by name because they say Donald Trump is a trauma trigger for some of its parishioners. Trauma trigger. Mike Kinnon, who is the rector of All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena, said back on January the 6th that the church is removing the names of, and I will say that's all of the leaders from its prayers, as a compromise. They're compromising now. It's compromise to fulfill their duties as Episcopalians while also protecting the vulnerable among us in this hour. Oh, there are vulnerable people out there, and Donald Trump he's a trauma trigger. It traumatizes people just to hear the name Donald Trump. Just to hear it, they're traumatized. So, I don't know. Maybe you ought to do a sermon, sir, on Romans 13:1. Maybe you ought to do that. How about this? Let everyone be subject. Well, you know what? I'll even go, but let's go King James. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So if you have a problem with a leader, Mr. Rector of the Episcopal Church there in California, Mike Kinnon, and the All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena, maybe if your parishioners have a problem with hearing Donald Trump, you ought to do a little sermon on Romans 13:1. Donald Trump, therefore, now, this is not me saying this. This is the King James Version. If you have a problem with Donald Trump, then basically you got a problem with God. Because if all leaders are put into place by God, then therefore, ergo, heretofore, and whatnot, you have an issue with God's decision. So, more hypocrisy there for you. But why would we expect anything less? Why would we expect anything less from a country who has universities offering courses against, quote-unquote, toxic masculinity? It's toxic. All you males out there, not all of you males, you alpha males out there, you're toxic. They want to construct new futures for masculinities. That's right. They want to change masculinity. University of Oregon, for example, students are invited to attend a healthy masculinities conference. Well, bet you won't find a single masculine male there. You might as well just relabel that the man bun convention. Yes, look at me. I have a man bun. I'm wearing a hairband. Boy, I see that sometimes. I go to some of these stores and I see guys wearing hairbands. I want to go, what are you thinking? You are not in the NFL. You do not have to put on a helmet. Take that hairband off. And I'm not talking about like a masculine. I don't even know if there are such things, but I'm not talking about a masculine hairband. I'm talking about things like the things that the girls wear in school. They say they're going to engage in collective imaging to construct new futures for masculinities, unrestricted by power, privilege, and oppression. Oh, there you go. So you can't be a man without oppressing somebody, right? You can't be masculine without being an oppressor. I say we want to explore, dissect, and construct an intersectional understanding of masculinity and maleness, as well as to create destabilized spaces for those with privilege. Good gosh almighty. That's where our kids are coming from. And I got into a long, drawn-out conversation the other day. I've got a cousin who's got a PhD and teaches over in Georgia. And I will guarantee you that she will probably in the near future want to hold one of these classes for masculinity. Isn't it amazing? They want to demasculinize the men of this country, but they want to make the women as masculine as humanly possible. Let's all get the girls out there and make them masculine and the males more feminine. Oh, thank you very much, liberals. The world appreciates it. Nature appreciates it. All right, it's 8:59 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Do I have to go another few seconds? Yeah, I got to go another few seconds. All right, that's fine. Cool. All right. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about Mason Weaver. Mason Weaver is a former member of the Black Panther Party. Mason Weaver, former member of the Black Panther Party. You can't wait, I'm telling you, to hear what he had to say about Representative John Lewis and the Democrat Party. We'll have his comments coming up here in just a few minutes. It's unbelievable. This guy obviously has seen the light. It's the Big Talker, WTMA. Good morning.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA.
Justin. Accumulate. 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. As we've got 3 days, 2 hours, 53 minutes, and 10 seconds until Donald Trump is sworn in as the 45th president of the United States. And we've been talking about a lot about the people that are not going to be going to the inauguration. Basically, the whiny left not showing up. They refuse to show up. So that's fine. I'm sure Donald Trump will miss him. I'm sure he has shed a tear over all of this. I know I have. However, you guys might want to watch this inauguration. I know I'm certainly going to be watching it. The Charleston County Republican Party is going to be having a viewing party at Parsons Jack's Cafe at 11 o'clock. It's going to be starting about 11 on Friday. So Friday's going to be a good day. Not only is it Friday, we're getting ready for the weekend. We're getting ready for a new president. Yay. However, there are some very big concerns about the inauguration. In fact, due to unprecedented threats. Now, remember, this is the tolerant liberal left. They're the tolerant folks. They want inclusion. They want everybody to have a voice. They want everybody to have a say. They want everyone come to the table. All of you come to the table. Secret Service Director Joseph Clancy says that the threat environment for the inauguration is different, quote unquote, from previous ones. Members of U.S. law enforcement are going to deploy countermeasures to prevent large truck attacks, such as those that killed dozens of people in Nice, France, and in Berlin last year. They're trying to prevent this from happening during the inauguration of Donald Trump as president. We even saw that during the Thanksgiving Day parade. They had, I forgot what they call them, but they put up these big trucks full of sand, big heavy trucks, like dump trucks full of sand, and it wouldn't allow, you know, it would prevent people from driving up on the sidewalk and, you know, doing a lot of mayhem. So, Joseph Clancy and his partners are convinced that attempts to launch another violent and dangerous act are well within the realm of possibility. Clancy said that the threat environment for this inauguration and the campaign led up to this being a different type of event. He said, "I think people today are willing to do things that they may not have been willing to do in the past. several episodes that took place during the campaign where people jumped over bike racks or security zones into buffer zones. And they're going to be watching this very closely during the inauguration because, now remember, the ACLU says, hey, 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 no body cameras. You police officers can't have body cameras out there. We don't want you recording what everybody's doing. We don't want you recording that. So they're you know. And then I guess what? On the 21st, we'll have body cameras back, I guess. I don't know. So what is being planned? Well, there is a new video from Project Veritas where this guy, James O'Keefe, went into a group, the DC Anti-Fascist Coalition, and they talked about taking butyric acid, and putting it, yes, that's right, they're going to try to basically make stink bombs during President Trump's inauguration. Now, that's what they're talking about doing. So, James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, went in. They were talking about this. One guy's smiling. He's all happy. He looks like a nice little non-masculine liberal. And he's taken this video to the Secret Service, the CIA, and the FBI, and local authorities up there in Washington, D.C., as they were talking about releasing this gas into, I think it's the National Press Club there in Washington, D.C. It's a big building down in Washington, D.C., unleashing this gas that will then get into the air conditioning, the HVAC system, and spread the gas all over the building, causing the building to be evacuated and yada, yada, yada. Well, this is an act of terrorism. This is conspiring to commit an act of terrorism. Now, once this video came out, these folks with this this organization, the Anti-Fascist Coalition, said, oh, we knew. Oh, we knew we were being taped. What are you kidding me? God, come on out. We're just kidding about all this. However, there are several of these groups that have been videotaped with this. So there you go. That's what the tolerant liberal left is looking at doing. They're looking at basically, they're conspiring. There are groups out there that are conspiring to commit acts of terror during the inauguration because they are so liberal, they are so tolerant, they are so inclusive. They want everybody's voice to be heard unless you are a conservative. So that's the way the left reacts there. There you go. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Also, this weekend we saw Donald Trump getting into a bit of a spitting match with Representative John Lewis. Now, here's what I believe. I think Donald Trump has got to stop taking the bait from these people. He's got better things to do now. All right. So he's got to leave his Twitter behind. Only put out the information that the people need to know, and stop getting in all these, like I said, spitting matches with the left, because it doesn't serve him well. Here's how he should have handled the whole John Lewis thing. Here's how he should have handled it and really put it right back on John Lewis. Maybe he sends out a tweet like, I was very saddened to hear the comments of Representative John Lewis. I certainly hope as he changes his mind about attending the inauguration, I will hold a special seat in honor of him on the podium. How about that? How about that? That would have, in my eyes, that would have made Lewis look even worse than he already does. All right, let's go to Ferris out on Folly Beach. Good morning, Ferris. How are you?
I'm okay, Sally. Yourself?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
What about this Women's March on Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
The day after the inauguration?
Yeah, we've been talking about that.
Well, I'm concerned that it's run by the ladies of the left.
Well, of course it is. Who else would it be run by?
Well, but so therefore, because they're in opposition to us, I think that we need in this country, Charlie, and we can get it under Trump because he led the way. See, there's an effect called the Trump trickle down.
Mm-hmm.
And so what real men are inspired to do is to declare war on certain women. For example, he came out very early with his war on, for example, Rosie O'Donnell, who he correctly referred to as some kind of a pig.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're inspired through his leadership, and that's where our true debt to him is. So let's focus on this Women's March. Notice it's not called Ladies' March because these women are typically not ladies. Ladies is a parallel term to gentlemen.
Okay, go ahead.
You are a Southern gentleman.
Yes.
And there are ladies who are very much ladies, but this is a group of ladies of the left, and we need a war on certain. Let's point out a few. One is Mary Bonato, the president of the GLAD,
mm-hmm.
the Gay Lesbian Advocates and Defenders. She single-handedly engineered the perversion of the institution of marriage and inflicted it on everyone in our country.
Okay, who else should we be at war with, Ferris?
I'll go on. Let me spell for those listeners who like to do research, B-O-N-A-U-T-O. B-O-N-A-U-T-O, Bonato, first name Mary, a lawyer out of Maine.
Okay, who else, Paris?
Another good one would be Gloria Steinem, but mm-hmm. let's point out that these women that we need a war on tend to mostly be the MP lesbians, the militant a progressive lesbian.
No, you know, Ferris, I know a lot of women that are going to this march on Washington. A lot of them are leaving from here in South Carolina. And I would say the vast majority of them are not lesbians. So I'm not real sure what Ferris's deal is about lesbians. I really don't. I don't know if there's something going on there. But anyway, I think the march is ridiculous. I really do. And it breaks my heart that I have heretofore good friends, people that I respected and admired that are going to this march on Washington, D.C., and they're saying, no, this isn't an anti-Trump march. Now, remember, this started out as an anti-Trump march. It started out as an anti-Trump march, and then they realized, we're not having a whole lot of people join up on this. Maybe we ought to change the name, rebrand it. So they are now saying this is a pro-women's march in Washington, D.C., because they've come up with this false narrative that it doesn't matter that Kellyanne Conway was appointed by Donald Trump to run his campaign, and she was, and I'll talk about my cousin, I'll get to her in just a second. She was the first female to run a successful presidential campaign, but as my cousin, the PhD holder, and she thinks that makes her more intelligent than anyone else, she's a traitor and a turncoat. And she's not part of the movement out there. She's not. And that's the way the left just turns on you. You can't be a successful woman and a conservative in this country without being a traitor to the cause, as they say. You can't be an African-American conservative without being a traitor to the cause, without being an Uncle Tom, Mason Weaver, former Black Panther Party member.
The Congressional Communist Black Caucus that has every district they own and control is a ghetto hellhole. It's a place that no one wants to go to. They're in control of every inner city school system, every inner city police, every inner city jail. They have produced nothing but drugs and misery. Black-owned businesses, Black-owned housing has been reduced. They have presided over the destruction of Black people. They should be ashamed of themselves, and I don't understand why any Black person could be a Democrat.
There you go, and I don't either. I don't either. So we were talking about the 5th District over in Georgia, Representative John Lewis's district. Let's give you a little bit about this. Now, Donald Trump said that John Lewis's district was basically not good. And I'm paraphrasing there. So let's take a look at it. Let's take a look at it. This is unemployment rate. Georgia's 5th district, 8.2%, almost double the national average. Median household income, $48,017. National average, $53,889. Poverty rate, 17.3%. National average, 13.5%. Now, remember, the 5th District of Georgia includes communities like Alpharetta, Roswell, Buckhead. It's just south of Marietta. And we're talking very affluent neighborhoods. So if the poverty rate is at 17.3%, when there's so much vast wealth in this district, can you imagine what the plight is of poor families in John Lewis's district? Can you imagine that? If you've got people making millions and millions of dollars, I mean, multimillionaires. Hell, Elton John's got a home in Atlanta. So if the poverty rate is 17.3%, could you imagine just how poor some of these people are in Atlanta? 20 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
Cousin, businesses are booming.
On 1250 WTMA.
There's more Charlie James coming up next on WTMA.
Coming after the break, at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to tell you why Oprah Winfrey is still poor. Still poor. We'll have that for you in just a few minutes. Right now, I tell you what, if you've been downtown, you've seen this home that was featured in the movie The Patriot. That was sold last week for $5.35 million. It's a three-story house at 69 Meeting Street downtown. It sold Wednesday for $5.35 million. The owners, Bob and Sue Printer, sold the three-story, 8,130-square-foot home built in 1788, as according to the property company that handles it. The Poyas Mordecai House, as it is known, was seen early in the movie The Patriot as the site of the title character, who was played by Mel Gibson. He dropped off his children at Aunt Charlotte's house before he attended an assembly leading up to the colony's break with England. Now, Bob Printer is well-known in fashion and retail circles as the owner of the Ben Silver Collection men's store there on 149 King Street. So, there you go. That store must be making some money. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Again, I told you in just a few minutes, we'll tell you why Oprah Winfrey is still poor. Yep. Give you that. I know what you're wondering, but she is. All right. Again, want to congratulate Tyrone Lamar Randolph as being the first nominee of this year's Father of the Year Award. SLED arrested him on Sunday, charging him with unlawful neglect of a child or helpless person after his daughter was shot in Santee on Saturday night during a drug deal. He was trying to purchase drugs. He exchanged gunfire with the dealer, and during the incident, Randolph's daughter, who was sitting in the back seat of his car, was struck by a bullet. Now, she was taken to the Children's Hospital up in Richland County, and it seems like she has stepped down from intensive care and is recovering. So that is something to be thankful for. However, what is not to be thankful for is the fact that a father out there thinks it is perfectly okay to take his daughter to a drug deal. That's at what point could this not have happened? I don't know. Leave your kids out of your drug business? How about that? That might be a nice thing to do, sir. So congratulations on your nominee for Father of the Year.
Michael Savage Afternoons. Stimulating talk all day.
WTMA 1250 Charleston.
I guess everybody who knows anything about Oprah Winfrey knows that she grew up poor. Well, Oprah Winfrey is apparently still poor. And the reason that she is still poor is because of soup.
Hi, Mom.
Hello, dear.
Who's coming for supper?
Why, Jenny.
Oh, boy.
How did you know we're having company?
We always have mushroom soup when company's coming.
Well, yes, I guess you're right. Would you like to help me set the table?
So, okay. Oprah Winfrey says that when she was growing up, her mother or her family was too poor to buy soup.
Childhood memories.
Oh, look
favorite
at you.
Memory. That's me.
Shot of that. Look at
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Okay. Do you remember Lassie? Are you old enough for Lassie?
Yeah, I remember Lassie.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so at the end of Lassie, there was a Campbell's soup commercial. Remember?
Nope.
Where his mom would always say, "Timmy, oh, come here," right. and she would serve him. It was product placement, but I didn't know that
wow.
at the time. I actually thought that, oh gosh, little white boys get soup from their moms, you know? I really did. And I thought, gee, if my mom could only serve me soup, that would mean I associated that soup as a love thing.
Well, first of all, that's a hell of a marketing campaign by Campbell's Soup, but it stuck with Oprah this whole time. Apparently, it stuck with her pretty good, too, because her new cookbook starts off with 19 soup recipes. And like she says, it goes back to when she was young and her mother was so poor that they say she couldn't afford soup. And they talked about it there with Stephen Colbert on his program. So I don't know what Oprah was trying to convey there. I only thought little white boys got soup. Well, I tell you what, Oprah. You got $2.9 billion. $2.9 billion. Why don't you take $1.9 billion and help out the poor in this country? You'll still have $1 billion left. You certainly won't be hurting the heck. You could have $500 million. You could take the $2 billion and give it to the poor. You'll still have $900 million in your bank account. But you want to, I don't understand it. I don't. And that's the mentality of a lot of people out there. No matter how much money they have, deep down inside, they have stopped growing emotionally, and she remains that young child who thinks that soup is still only for little white boys. And that is how a mom shows her love, by giving them soup. I thought it was pretty telling. John's west of the Ashley. Good morning, John. How are you?
Hey, Charlie. Good morning.
Morning.
Listen, but I missed your part where you were talking about a Black Panther guy.
Mason Weaver.
Could you tell me about it? Because I took my wife to work and I had to run in a store, and when I came out, I was like, man, I bet she's already said that.
All right. I'll do it right now, John. Appreciate you calling in. All right. Mason Weaver, former Black Panther member, no longer Black Panther member. Here is what he had to say about the Democrats who run the inner cities in our country.
The Congressional Communist Black Caucus that has every district they own and control is a ghetto hellhole. It's a place that no one wants to go to. They're in control of every inner city school system, every inner city police, every inner city jail. They have produced nothing but drugs and misery. Black-owned businesses, black-owned housing has been reduced. They have presided over the destruction of black people. They should be ashamed of themselves, and I don't understand why any black person could be a Democrat.
Now, his comments came after Representative John Lewis from Georgia said that Donald Trump was not a legitimate president. Now, he's not a legitimate president. No. I'm going to skip his inauguration. So he was responding to Lewis's contention that President-elect Donald Trump is not a legitimate president. In fact, Weaver went on to call Lewis an illegitimate congressman. Weaver called Lewis a civil rights turncoat who has collaborated with the Democrat Party to oppress Black America. Now, remember, that's the product of the Democrat Party in this country. Poverty, oppression, that's their product. It's how they market it that is different. He said that only people who beat and ran over Lewis and his fellow marchers that day were Democrats. Also pointing out that the party affiliation of former Governor George Wallace of Alabama, who is a Democrat and avowed segregationist, he said after they beat his behind on that bridge, he got up and joined them. This is exactly what they did. He joined the oppressors. This is according to Mason Weaver, former Black Panther member. He said, after they beat his behind on that bridge, he got up and joined them. He joined the oppressors and became a stooge for them. That's his quote. So what has gotten better in these inner cities under the Democrats? Where does John Lewis? I just read you the statistics from John Lewis's district, the 5th district over in Georgia, where poverty is up around 18%. And we're talking about poverty is 18%, but this is a widely affluential, like we said, it's got Alpharetta, it's got Roswell there. It's just south of the district lines, go just south of Marietta, which is very affluent. I mean, heck, Alpharetta, they had the PGA championship there one year. I went up, was the hottest day of my life. Very affluential section of Atlanta. So if you can imagine with that much wealth that's in Atlanta and poverty is still at 18%, what does the real poverty picture look like for many of the people in his district? That's what Mason Weaver was talking about. That's what he was talking about. So this same party, which was led by George Wallace, Democrat from Alabama, that same party that opposed him when he walked across the Pettus Bridge during the Civil Rights Movement, that same party is the one, according to Mason Lewis, that he got up and joined. And I'm still not sure why all of this happened. Anyway, we'll talk more on this coming up. Also, Donald Trump, let's give you a countdown here. The inauguration will be 3 days, 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 20 seconds from now. It's 16 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA.
If it's being talked about in Charleston, it's being talked about here. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
The Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Have you seen the new season of Sherlock? Well, you need to. Now, I'll go ahead and give you a bit of a warning here. It is a little darker than the past seasons. Past seasons used to be kind of a little bit lighthearted, but still good, very dramatic. But this one, it'll get your blood pumping. It'll get the creep factor going. So if you haven't checked that out with Benedict Cumberbatch and the folks there, it's so well done. So well done. But this is it. This is the last one. They're not going to be doing anymore. So you can definitely check that out. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. I would certainly like to have you on the... Oh, speaking of things to watch, have you seen the video of that alligator down in Florida? It's at a Florida Nature Center, and this thing is a monster. I would not even hazard a guess of how big this thing is, but in the video, it looks like something out of Jurassic Park. So there's this little path there, and it looks to be about, 8 feet wide, something like that, this path that this giant alligator is crossing. He is covering the entire path from snout to hind leg. That alone covers it. And then once the tail starts coming out, this thing's got to be 16 feet long. It's got to be. I mean, it is an absolute monster. And I posted on Twitter, I said, that alligator looks full. And he does. Well, I tell you what, he just looks like a giant dinosaur walking across. This thing is, it is huge. All right, what else we got going on out there? 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Let's see, Stephen Colbert talked on his show about the rumor that Trump might evict the press corps from the White House.
There's a rumor going around, just started this last week, that Trump may evict the press from their offices in the White House. I mean, he's got to. He's got to make room. He's got to make room for Putin's dojo. In case you're wondering, this is not normal. Reporters have had a workspace in the White House since Teddy Roosevelt. Fun fact, back then, the Roosevelt Room was just called the Room. Now, why would Trump kick the press out of the White House? According to an anonymous member of the transition team, the press is, quote, the opposition party. I want him out of the building. So there you have it. The free press joins Trump's enemies list, along with intelligence agencies, civil rights leaders, Meryl Streep, and non-absorbent hotel mattresses.
Ah, there you go. There you go. So spreading rumors there on Charleston's own humiliation, Charleston's own disgrace, Stephen Colbert on his program. So he wants, you know, here's the thing. The press really has had pretty much free reign in the White House and in the Capitol. I mean, they just walk around. That's what they do. But there's nothing in the Constitution that says that you have to make room for the press in the White House. There's nothing there. So the press has had their way for decades now. And now that they finally have somebody in office, and I told you the story the other day about her told me no, where my little niece got upset when somebody actually told her no, and she couldn't believe that somebody told her no, and she had an absolute conniption fit because somebody told her no. That's the same mentality that the press has now with Donald Trump. Donald Trump says no, and they lose their minds. And it's unbelievable to me. That these be, what do you expect? Oh, well, you know, we've got freedom of the press. Well, you're going to have to go find your own stories. So, I don't know. And he's actually talking about getting rid of the White House press corps and not holding those daily briefings with the White House press corps. So good for him if he does, because why? Because why? Because we have found out, and it continues to this day, that the press has a concerted effort to bring down, they tried to bring down his candidacy, and now they're going to do everything they can to try to bring down his presidency, where they stood up and they report on every single possible rumor that comes along about Donald Trump. Every possible rumor. Anything that'll make the headlines. And more than that, anything that will further their own political agenda. That's what they're looking for. So why would you want him there? Why? Oh, and by the way, remember when Barack Obama wouldn't allow Fox News? He wouldn't give questions to Fox News. Remember that? Yeah, you remember that. It took them forever to get an interview with the guy, but nobody was screaming about that. Then it was fine. It was okay. He blamed Fox News for all the ills. He still blames Fox News for Hillary Clinton losing the campaign. Blames him for that. And then he talks about having issues with civil rights leaders. I'm sorry, Mr. Colbert, but John Lewis was a great civil rights leader. You're exactly right. Yes, he was. But over the past couple of years, he has turned into a shill for the Democrat Party. And just because you're a civil rights leader does not mean you are above criticism. It doesn't mean you're above criticism. But that's what the left does. They parade out these people that they feel are untouchable. Remember the Gold Star family that they had up on the dais during the convention with the Democrats, Kazir Khan was standing up, holding up his copy of the Constitution. Remember that? And then they thought, oh, there's no way Donald Trump can say anything about this guy. Oh, he can't say anything about it. Sorry. His son died in the war. Sorry. Can't say anything about that. So they try to bring out these people that they think are untouchable. And when Donald Trump strikes back against them, they lose their minds. So obviously, you know, Donald Trump is anti-civil rights, right? Because that's what they're going to try to spin now. Well, John Lewis said that this will be the first inauguration that he's missed. Well, on Trish Reagan's show, we found out that that's not exactly true.
President-elect Trump won the election fair and square. We know that. But the left still will not accept the outcome of the election. Here is the Congressman Lewis, on why he thinks Trump is not a legitimate president. Watch.
I think the Russians participated in helping this man get elected, and they helped destroy the candidacy of Hillary Clinton. I don't plan to attend inauguration. It would be the first one that I miss since I've been in the Congress.
Oh, really? Did you catch that? The congressman, Congressman Lewis, said this is the first inauguration he is skipping since he has been in Congress. But we did the research, and it turns out this is not the first inauguration Congressman Lewis didn't attend. He also refused to attend George W. Bush's inauguration back in 2001. In fact, an article from the Washington Post dated January 21st, 2001 reads, and I'm sharing this with you, John Lewis, for instance, spent Inauguration Day in his Atlantic district. He thought it would be hypocritical to attend Bush's swearing-in because he doesn't believe Bush is the true elected president. Not the true elected president. You see, there's a pattern of behavior. There is a pattern of rhetoric with this gentleman.
Absolutely. So if a conservative is elected president, then obviously they're not a legitimate president, right? That's the way it goes. Oh, okay. So you go ahead and boycott that. So that does it. Just because you were a great civil rights advocate and a civil rights leader back in the 60s does not mean that you are above criticism. When you stick, I'm sorry, but if you stick your head into the arena of politics, you get what you get. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye, y'all.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA.